The Old Testament reading comes from Amos chapter 8. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over, and we may sell grain? And the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and sell the chaff of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger and quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectful apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill and quickly write 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and the one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. And what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text that I chose for today was not one of the three that were read today, but I chose from Galatians chapter 5. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. All right, how many of you all are cat lovers? Really? Most of you like dogs? Well, all right. I can only talk about cats because that's all I have. I'm assuming dogs are probably the same, so if it fits, great. Anyways, cats. I can guarantee when my cat will want to sit on my lap. It is when I have my best clothes on. If I have a jeans and an old t-shirt, cat could care less. I got my good church clothes on. Oh, I want to sit on you. All right? And if you scratch them, especially my one, she's got a little V8 engine underneath that hood, and she's just purring away. And cats can be quite amusing. You give them a wadded-up piece of paper, great fun. A catnip mouse. See, that's something you can't do to a dog. You want to have fun. Give them the whole bag of catnip. All right, now that can be fun, too. All right, and I mentioned they'll sit on me, you know, the worst possible opportunity when I have good clothes on. All right. When they sit, they don't actually ever settle. You ever notice how cats, they keep moving around? Do dogs do that too? They keep moving around on you? Yes, no on dogs? Well, some of you got dogs that you put a bloody saddle on, so that doesn't count. All right. And when they decide to scratch, most of the time they use their scratching post or whatever is readily available. Not nice. And when it's time to sleep, if you own cats, you generally got to shut your door because they think walking across you all night long is their way of protecting you. They're guard cats. They just never stop walking. You also notice they never put their toys away. Actually, I had a cat who did. He would bring me 12 pom-poms every night, drop them at my feet like he hunted and killed them, and then the next morning they were all gone. He re-hit them, and he did this night after night. He was a little odd. That's why he was my cat. All right, anyway, and then they sit in the sun. Now, dogs do this too. They sit in the sun and let the world go by. And when you go to take them to the vet, it's like a WWE wrestling event. And I know when we have to give them medicine, it takes at least two of us and ends in a bunch of scratches. Animals live on impulses or instinct. Animals do not make wise choices. They don't choose to be useful. They do what they want because it's what's best for them. But God calls us for other things, not just live any which way we want. Decide what's best for us and just do it, or lay around in the sun and be useless. He calls us to bring order, to bring goodness, and to bring love on this earth. The passage I read from Galatians is oftentimes just called that section, the fruits of the Spirit. And that's what we're called. We are called to produce fruits. Now, apples. Oh, I could have brought in a whole bunch of examples. Do you know how many different varieties of apples there are? 8,000. 8,000 different types. Most popular fruit in North America. And who does not love the smell of apple pie when it just comes out of the oven? Okay, Shelly, you're weird. I love you, sister in Christ, but that's weird. Who doesn't love the smell of apple crisp? Applesauce? We'll pray for you. All right? And we know that the skins of an apple can be red and orange, green, yellow, and even brown. They vary in taste too, from a sugary taste to bland, tart, or even a spicy flavor. A well-known gardener, L.H. Bailey, said, "Why do we need so many kinds of apples? Because there are so many kinds of folks. A person has the right to gratify his legitimate taste. There is merit in variety itself. It provides more points of contact with life and leads away from uniformity and monotony." So why am I talking about the importance of apples or the different varieties? Because the fruits of the Spirit are like the 8,000 different varieties of apple trees that we have. We don't just have a certain list of the fruits of the Spirit. And I'd ask the kids, why can't my apple tree produce, it's a peach tree, right, with the kids? Why can't a peach tree produce an apple? And Ellie was right. A peach tree is a peach tree, and it has to produce peaches. I mean, that was in essence of what she says. So as Christians, then, we have to produce the fruits that God gave us. These are things that God says the fruits of the Spirit are. All right? That's what we are called to do. We can't really produce something else. A Christian, in other words, is not going to deliberately set out to break God's holy law. The fruits of the Spirit have to come from a spiritual life, and we cannot produce them on our own. If I tried that list of all the things, gentleness and peacefulness and all of that, can I do that on my own? No. What's my human nature? Sin. Pure human nature is the sin. So I can't do these things alone. It has to be done by the power of God. And God tells us we're all born spiritually dead. And life doesn't come from anything dead. If I have a dead tree, it's not going to produce an apple. Okay? That's just the way it is. All right? Somebody who's spiritually dead cannot produce the fruits of the Spirit. Left to our own, without God, this is the list that Paul gives. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. The stuff wizards do. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and things like these. Sorcery, that was the word I was trying to say. You ever get that word, just won't come out right? Why does it happen to me every 12? Anyway. All right. Now, the Bible says that all those things come out of our hearts. And I know I've railed against this before. You know, I just feel it in my heart. My heart's an evil little thing, the stuff that comes pouring out of that. All right? I mean, literally, the emotions don't come out of that, but it's just, we've always assumed through history that that's where the center of our emotions are. Now, do Christians ever do those things that I listed in that list of bad things? Oh, yes, we do. Oh, come on. Fits of anger, jealousy. You guys have never been jealous about anything? Yeah, we've all done them. But here's the difference. Christians repent of those. Well, first of all, we recognize our sin. We repent of our sin. And then we turn away from it. In other words, we're not going to continue to do them. And that list, the sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and things like these. Gee, doesn't that describe most of TV and movies? And honestly, considering their self-profession and the amount of faith they have, would you expect any different? Remember, spiritually dead are going to produce a spiritually dead fruit. Even in political speech, you hear an awful lot of those things. Oh, by the way, as a sidebar, and people say, you know, politics, what they say is just so bad, I've never heard it this bad. Oh, you haven't read some of the political speeches of the 1800s. Ha! Stuff going on today sounds like saints compared to some of the stuff back then. So it's nothing new. My point is, it's absolutely nothing new, what we see or what we hear. Why would we expect anything different? Somebody spiritually dead cannot produce the fruits of the Spirit, just like a car factory cannot produce apples. Now, somebody who's spiritually dead, can they do good things? Yes. Absolutely, they can do good things. But what the Bible says is, when a non-believer does good things, they are like filthy rags before God. Think of the most disgusting, yucky rag you've ever touched. And that's what God says their good works are like. And I mentioned, Christians cannot produce good works just alone either. Because, look at it this way, where does that fruit come from? Where does the fruit of the Spirit come from? Yes, the fruit of the Spirit? There we go! See, you guys have to come to adult Bible study and have some of my coffee, and then you too can have all this energy with one cup of coffee. All right? But where the power comes to produce these fruits is the Spirit. In verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Every day a Christian gets up in the morning and we surrender our will to God. Luther put it very, very well. He says every morning when he gets up, he has to drown the old Adam again in the waters of holy baptism. He reminds himself he's a baptized child of God, and he had to suppress that natural human desires. We surrender our will to him, our mind, our emotions, our thoughts, our bodies themselves. Scripture says we put to death our natural self, and we want to do the things pleasing to God. We want to do the things that please God because we are a Christian. We want to do those things because Christ died on the cross first. Notice that happens first. Christ dies on the cross for our sins, and then in response, we produce the fruits of the Spirit. Excuse me. And you know what? When we do produce the works of the flesh, that should be a little warning sign. Is my relationship with God getting damaged? Matthew 7:17 tells us, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. Then later he writes, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So sometimes when we're producing that bad fruit, it's a danger signal that our relationship might be in trouble. So why do we then produce the good works? Is it to feel better? Do we produce the fruits of the Spirit to feel better about ourselves? The answer would be no. And let me explain why we do these good things produce the fruits of the Spirit. Yes, it's because of what Christ has done for us. There's also another reason. An apple tree does not feed itself with its own apples, does it? Does a pear tree feed itself with its own pears? No. Someone else gets the benefit of it. So I go up to the apple tree and pull down an apple and eat it. I'm getting the benefit of what that tree has produced. Same thing with the fruits of the Spirit. Others are getting the benefits of those. Same thing, like when I pick that apple off the tree, I am thankful for that apple. The tree didn't get the benefit of that. I did. So, let's try that again in English. When we're producing fruit of the Spirit, we are benefiting others. There's a great story, and they made a movie of it. I think it's called The End of the Spear. It's set back in the 1950s. Two missionaries, Jim Elliott and Nate Saint, knew that there's this remote tribe. It's a true story, by the way. It's not a fictional. It's a true story. They go down to the Amazon because there's a remote tribe there that they know have never heard about Christ. And their first few passes, they drop some gifts for the tribesmen down below. And I forgot what the gifts were. They were little things, kind of caught their attention, like a mirror or stuff like that, stuff they had never had before. And they flew over several times. And it appeared the natives were thrilled to get these things. One time, though, they said, now it's time to meet them face to face and start teaching about Christ. They land their little plane, and within seconds, both of them were dead. Both the missionaries were dead. Now, from good old human nature, if two members or one member of your family was killed that way, what would, I'm talking pure human nature, what would your reaction be? Now, okay, I'm seeing some smiles on the guys because I know exactly what our pure human nature would do. Well, guess what the wives and the children did? After they got done grieving, they went back to that tribe because they said the message of the gospel was more important. They actually did convert quite a few members of the tribe. Now imagine working side by side with somebody who may have killed your husband or your father. They never wanted to know who killed him. Because they said, as fellow Christians, it has been forgiven and forgotten. That's a true story. That is amazing. That's the fruits of the Spirit. I told you, the dark side, we all have a dark side. Pure human nature. All right? But the fruits of the Spirit. This story is an example of the fruits of the Spirit. The gospel was more important than anything else. And did that fruit of the Spirit come from the wives and the children of these two dead missionaries? No. It was there because of what the Holy Spirit had done. There's one example. Another example of somebody else benefits from our deeds is love itself. Now, I think I asked in confirmation, but I'm not going to put anybody on the spot right now. But I had him define love and just don't give me a Beatles line. I can't stand the Beatles. So you know what to me hell would be? Listening to the Beatles all day and eating sweet potatoes. Okay? Or don't quote me some other song from the 60s. Love is not a feeling. All right? Love also, by the way, does not mean you're going to like everybody. I can love somebody without liking them. You're going to know how that one is. Because love is seeking the best for the other person. Attempting to put myself in their shoes, in their lives. What do I need to do to help them resolve this problem? So that even applies to somebody who has hurt you. Going back to the story of the two missionaries. All right? The wives and the children showed great love for those natives. Because what was best for them was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, by the way, when we do good to others, the Bible says we get to heap coals on their head. I don't know, doesn't that sound like a little revenge right there? It's not. I've actually seen pictures of that, somebody with coals on their head after you've done something. No, it's not. It's an expression that means you get them thinking. You heat up their head and you get them thinking. Why is somebody doing good to me that I have hurt? You heap coals on their head. In other words, you get them thinking about the why. Why would you do those good things for me? That tree supposed to produce the good fruit. It has to be nourished. And the kids and I kind of talked about that with water. But our faith's got to be nourished, and we do it through word and sacrament. Time in the word, time in prayer. And as we produce this fruit, we strengthen other faith, other people's faith, and can possibly bring other people to Christ. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.